Thank you for waiting. Welcome to Eternit's conference call on the first quarter of 2015 earnings results. Today with us, Mr. Rodrigo Luz, Eternit's Chief Financial Officer. This event is being recorded. All participants are on a listen-only mode, and later on, we'll have questions and answers when we'll give you further instructions. If you need the help of an operator, please press star zero. This conference call is being broadcast live on www.eternit.com.br/ir. A slide presentation and the earnings release are also available on this website. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are being made under the safe harbor of the Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1996. Actual performance could differ materially from those anticipated in any forward-looking comments as a result of macroeconomic conditions, market risks, and other factors. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Mr. Rodrigo Luz, Eternit's Chief Financial Officer and IR. Please, Mr. Rodrigo.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to this conference on Eternit's first quarter 2015 results. The first quarter of this year was a bit unfavorable owing to the current status of the economy and also the political turbulence that we've been through. According to the central bank, we expect a negative GDP of -1.2% and the construction industry -5.5%, owing to the slowdown estimated for this year. The GDP, according to projections in the first quarter, was very close to zero. In this respect, the industry where Eternit operates, according to the Brazilian Construction Materials Industry Association, ABRAMAT, domestic sales fell by 8.8%. This is a lot lower than what we expected for 2015, and in the following month, according to, again, ABRAMAT, the growth projection for 2015 was revised down to -2%, particularly owing to infrastructure, the slump in the infrastructure industry, and to the difficulty of construction companies to operate on the market, in addition to the difficulties in the real estate market in the wake of recent measures announced by the government. Using the same basis of comparison by ABRAMAT, Eternit in the first quarter outperformed the industry. This was seen in the first quarters. When we look back at other first quarters, the company has historically outperformed the industry, and on the same comparison basis, we reported a growth of 4.1% in the consolidated net revenue. Now, talking about slide number three, Brazil Minerals sales fell by 6.5% compared with the same period last year, owing to lower sales to the domestic market. And this is in line with everything I've mentioned about the industry. Fiber cement was virtually unchanged, went up 0.9%. Concrete tiles fell by 28.3% owing to the strong slump in the industry, particularly in this segment. Additionally, we have a seasonal event that happens in the first quarter of the year owing to the rainy season. So the rainy season does the opposite to concrete tiles in the segment of medium and higher income segment. We can only do roofings during the dry season. So this seasonal effect deeply affected concrete tiles. Consolidated net revenue in the first quarter was 252.7 million reals, up 3.7% over the same period, and this is owed to a repositioning of price in addition to the appreciation of the dollar that partially offset the reduction in sales. Adjusted EBITDA was 49.6 million reals, up 15.8% over the previous period. This is because of the 3.5% growth in gross profit, in addition to the reduction in operating expenses, which boosted the EBITDA. Net income totaled 20.2%, owing to a lower interest financial result and as a result of the equity method. Earnings distributed and dividend yield on equity was 2 cents per share based on the results of the first quarter, and the yield is at 6.2% in 2015. So we're talking about the distribution of these 10 cents plus another 10 cents that referred to the fourth quarter. Slide number 5, let's talk about the operating performance of Chrysotil. So we've had sales of 70,000 tons in the first quarter, 6.5% down owing to the factors that I've mentioned that hit the industry. By the same token, foreign market sales remained virtually unaltered. There was a reduction of 0.5%. So the domestic market really had a greater contribution to this performance, 11.3%, particularly the roofing segment. Fiber cement sales in slide 6 were practically unaltered, went up by 0.9% to 214.9 thousand tons. So why have sales not changed against the data of the industry? Owing to the rainy season. In addition to that, we have the effect of the capillarity of over 16,000 sales outputs of Eternit products. So these two effects together caused sales volumes to remain virtually unaltered compared with the previous year. On slide number 7, concrete tiles, we sold virtually 8 million pieces in the first quarter, therefore a reduction of 28% compared with the first quarter 2014 as a result of the slowdown in this industry, particularly in this segment that occurs seasonally. So every first quarter we have the rainy season. In addition to that, I'd also mentioned the issue of the lack of confidence on the part of families to invest, particularly among the middle class and the higher class families, who are the major clients for this kind of project. So the current juncture with a deep slowdown and lack of confidence, the population who's building or redoing their roofings really pull back on investment. And this is why the segment was mostly affected. On slide number 9, let's talk about consolidated net revenue in the first quarter. It was 252.7 million, up by 3.7% on the domestic market. The revenue was 202, virtually stable compared with the same period last year as a result of the pricing offsetting the volumes of chrysotile mineral and concrete tiles sold. Exports grew by 21% at a total of 50.6 million in the first quarter as a result of the dollar appreciation against the real. The dollar appreciated by 21.4% against the real in this period. In slide number 10, talking about production costs, I'm sorry, slide number 9. Well, the breakdown is virtually stable. We like to show you the breakdown to help with projections, but the highlights here are raw materials and labor, which are the main items, the items that most contributed to that. The cost of goods sold consolidated was 158 million in the first quarter. This is an increase of 3.8% as a result of growing mining costs and the collective bargaining. And in the segment of fiber cement and concrete tiles, the major contributions to this increase came from the increase in raw material prices. The gross margin over this period was 37%. It was virtually unchanged compared with the first quarter of 2014. And this is because there was a balance between revenue and cost. So revenue grew linearly with costs. On slide 11, we see adjusted EBITDA, which total 49.6 million, up 15.8%. This was the result of our growth in gross profit of 13.1% and reduction in operating expenses. The adjusted EBITDA margin is up 2%, and we closed the period with 20% in margin. I would like to highlight that we are now disclosing adjusted EBITDA,
just to show the market the consolidated activities of the group since the JV activities together with Companhia Sul de Cerâmica are now underway. The adjusted EBITDA shows the equity method according to the 527 instruction. So that we can have a more detached outlook of the consolidated segments of the company, we have removed from the calculation of adjusted EBITDA the results of the equity picker method by CVC. In the following slide, we look to net income. In the first quarter 15, our net income was 20 million, down 14.2% in relation to the previous period last year, and our net margin contracted 2 percentage points. We closed the period posting 8% in net margin. This is owing to the smaller interest income and also the negative equity method result of the JV. Speaking of the JV, the production of ceramic fixtures in the state of Ceará are now showing good results. We see progressive improvement in the levels of productivity. However, the foreign exchange rate had a negative impact on the results of our JV because we use imported inputs to complement our portfolio and meet specific needs from our buyers. In slide number 13, we look to our debt levels. Our net debt at the Fenician and the controlled companies is of 102 million reais, derived from the different advances on export contracts and foreign exchange contracts that are used to meet our working capital requirements. And we also have financing lines for the acquisition of equipment. In the repayment schedule, we have 102 million maturing in 2015, and 70% of this amount refers to those advances on export contracts and foreign exchange contracts. This, of course, has an impact on receivables because you have debt denominated in dollars to be paid out, but you have the same amount to be received in your accounts receivable through exports. This partially offsets the negative foreign exchange variations related to this operation. In slide number 14, we see the capital expenditures in the first quarter of 2015 totaling 40 million, practically half of what was invested in the previous period. And the forecast of investment for 2015 is 40 million, which is the same hour as our annual depreciation. In slide number 16, let me talk a little bit about our shareholding structure, which has remained virtually unchanged in the last years. We have a large concentration of individual investors in our shareholders base. They represent 65% of our ownership. We have clubs and funds with 22% and 10% foreign investors. It's important to mention that in our last shareholders meeting, we elected Mr. Luis Terepins as chairman of the board, Mr. Lido Albino Parisotto, Marcelo Munhoz Auricchio, Marcelo Gasparino da Silva, and Luis Barsi Filho, together with Mr. Rafael Maes Martins. And for We also re-elected for the Board of Auditors Mr. André Dantas and Mr. Paulo Funchal. And we elected as new members of the Board of Auditors Mr. Benedito Carlos Dias da Silva, Luciano Luiz Barsi, and Robert Juneman. So their term will be of 1 year, and they were re-elected or elected, respectively, during our last meeting. On slide 17, policy of remuneration, we continued paying 10 cents per share owing to the first quarter of 15, totaling 8 million in relation to the 20 million of net income. This represents a payout of 89%. The next payout of dividends for the earnings of the first semester approved during the board meeting this week will take place on June 3. Slide number 18. Allow me to say a few words about our Level 1 ADR program. During the Board of Directors meeting held on April 16, 2015, the board approved the cancellation of the Level 1 American Depositary Receipts owing to the low volume of trading. We have now made a relevant note on this topic, and now we have to take the necessary measures by informing the depository institution, which will act together with the institutions to keep shareholders and the market duly informed of any further developments related to the cancellation. Regarding Cristotil Mineral, what we have in terms of news from the legal standpoint is that I would say that there are no relevant facts to mention. We're still awaiting trial in the Supreme Court in relation to the civil public actions. There are no further developments either, no relevant facts to announce, and that could lead to discussions or that could lead to a specific announcement as a relevant fact. So activities are still based on the federal law that you're all familiar with and that is mentioned in slide 20. And we'd like to reaffirm our belief in the Brazilian judiciary system and that scientific and technical evidence will be taken into account in the appreciation of this topic. If there are any further developments, we'll announce this to our shareholders and to the market at large. On slide 21, we list the contact info for our investor relations team. Should you have any questions or should any clarifications be needed, please, it will be a pleasure to assist you. Together with our senior management, we are more than willing to shed light on any questions that you might have. So this is my presentation, and we are now open for the Q&A. Excuse me. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star 1. To remove your question from the list, press star 2. Our first question comes from Lucas Martins from Votorantim Bank. It's more of an accounting question. Could you please describe what you mean by adjusted EBITDA? You allocate part of the capital expenditures in that slot? Thank you very much for your question. As you said, I think this is a highly technical question. In short, I'll try to summarize and clarify what we mean by it. With a new measure, a non-accounting measure taken by the Brazilian CVM, through the instruction 527 of 2012, the CVM established a rule for consideration based on net income to make up EBITDA. Since we have a joint venture where control is shared with our partners, we have a 60% stake in the Corona Group, multinational from Colombia, holds 40%. Because of the shareholding agreement maintained with the two companies, neither of the companies can acknowledge or recognize these figures in a consolidated way. So first, we have to recognize the earnings in proportion to our stake through the equity method, in fact. As a result of that, we have removed the earnings through the equity method to show consolidated figures of the Eternit group, which are mining, fiber cement, and concrete tiles. Our next question comes from the webcast. Mr. Santiago Gottschalk from Gottschalk. The 40% gross margin, 10% of net margin that you have shown historically, is it still valid as a goal for the coming quarters? Santiago, thank you very much for your question. Well, this goal, as you said, is more like a trend. In more favorable economic times, the company tried to reach this as a trend. Eternit's policy is not to give any guidance, but those are targets that we do pursue. In view of the pressures coming from inflation and price adjustments in the power rates and the collective bargaining that usually negotiates wages above inflation rates, and with the lack of confidence from our consumer base, this is a very challenging year for us. And I think it's more reasonable to seek for something that we have said that was more of a trend in the past. The company is working with its team to improve productivity and maximize any figures that improve our cost-benefit relationship so that we can continue posting reasonable profitability figures.
Excuse me. If you have any question, please press star 1. If you have any questions, please press star 1. Our next question is from Eder, a shareholder. When will you reach the break-even point for CSC? What's the EBITDA expected
and how relevant its results will be on Eternit's results. At least give us an outlook for this. Thank you very much, Ede, for your questions. As I told you when I answered Mr. Santiago, our policy is not to announce any guidances, but what I can say about CSC is that we're now on a good pace in terms of production. We all know that this is a greenfield project, and every greenfield project brings in itself a number of challenges for startup. Our partner is a multinational group, which is a world reference in terms of bathroom fixtures with operations in Colombia and all over America now. And the outlook is favorable. Obviously, we are gradually stepping up productivity rates at CSC. But since it is a greenfield project, we're going to migrate that as soon as the targets are met. We are already in a process of migration, and by the end of the year, we expect to reach break-even in terms of own production and very reasonable cash creation. So I apologize if I couldn't be clearer in my answer, but I really cannot provide guidances. I'm sorry if I was not very precise in my answer, but I believe I've given you an overview of CSC. Our next question from Leonardo, Sax Investment. With the slowdown, you are more actively looking for new destinations for critical mineral on foreign markets. What's the percentage of production? Leonardo, thank you very much for the question. On the one hand, if the foreign exchange is bringing down the results of CSC, on the other hand, it boosts the results of Cristal. We are working at full capacity and the production of 270,000 tons, and this was the operation in the first quarter. And whatever we cannot sell on the domestic market, we are allocating to foreign markets. But remember that our policy is to attach priority to the domestic market and export surpluses. Our next question comes from Mr. André Ricardo da Silva. Good morning. You said that the joint venture production is good, but the results were partially hit by the appreciation of the US dollar. So what would have to be done so that the results of the joint venture would be positive? André, thank you very much for your question. I believe that I've just given you part of the answer to this question in my previous answers. But indeed, production is already reporting very positive figures. We are gradually improving and increasing production. But as I said, as a portfolio supplement and to supplement demand for these products, we keep exports moving. And exports, owing to the appreciation of the dollar in the first quarter, ended up impacting the results of CSC. And it's worth mentioning that Eternit has a distribution network of more than 16,000 POSs, points of sale, and we try to maximize the synergy among these POSs. So the same truck that carries the tiles already carries bathroom fixtures, and therefore we can penetrate or reach a very high number of POSs all over the country. And since this was developed over time, we keep supplying these clients on a regular basis. And since the production outlook is very good, we're going to do the migration gradually. Now, if you have any questions, please press star 1. Thank you very much. Our next question comes from Mr. Lucas Martins, Banco Votorantim. You mentioned that the prospect for investment will be 40 million. Recently, Eternit mentioned that it's going to invest in industrial hubs to try and replace the chrysotile mineral, which may affect the revenue of the company. What's the position of the company in terms of this replacement? Is there a plan to replace this mineral? And if so, what's the impact on costs and revenue?
Thank you very much for your question. As we saw in the capital expenditure slide, most of the investments in new business have been realized in previous years, especially 2012 and 2013. The new venture in the city of Manaus is now on a completion phase. We're almost done, and there we'll develop civil construction material inputs that can be sold and added to our portfolio, current and future, and we can enjoy all benefits of the free trade zone of Manaus together with different incentives and subsidies that apply to companies operating in the free trade zone of Manaus. So since that will be an R&D center, mostly we understand that we'll develop new raw materials in that Manaus center, and that there will be two needs to meet. We'll have, for example, demand for chrysotile-based products and for non-chrysotile-based products. So to meet this new demand, we are making the necessary investments to cater to our consumers and keep our leading position in the roofing segment, where we hold 33% of the market, because our mines also have a useful life, and we must be aware of that. So the company thinks that it's necessary to make those preventive investments because once the mineral is depleted from the mines, we'll keep our leadership in the fiber cement sector. Excuse me, if there are any further questions, please press star 1. To ask your questions, please press star 1. If there are no further questions, I would like to hand it over to Mr. Luz for his final remarks. Allow me to thank all of you who have listened in this conference call. This is a unique opportunity we have to discuss the economic data we have shown you today, and it will be a pleasure to have meetings, or if you need any further clarifications, please send us an email or give us a call. Well, to say a few words about the Brazilian economy, I believe that the next 3 months will be very challenging because of the adjustments that are now being made to the economy, especially as regards power rates and the increase in the tax burden, together with the cuts on public spending. All of them will affect our economic activity. We believe that the retail market won't be hit as hard because we still have good employment and wage levels. So far, they haven't been deeply affected. We know that there is a credit crunch for pre-owned properties, and this could actually favor the renovations market, and we have a lot of range in that area. Regardless of all of the challenges, Eternit believes that growth will rebound in the Brazilian economy, especially in the area where we operate. If the current market conditions are maintained, considering, for example, job generation and income levels, the trend in the long term is for the company to show superior performance to the industry, just like we did in the first quarter of 2015. So once again, I thank you all for participating in this conference call, and I wish you a very nice weekend. Thank you very much. Eternit's conference call is now concluded. We thank you all for listening. Enjoy your day.